Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
I'm past patiently waiting. I'm passionately smashing every expectation. Every action's an act of creation. I'm laughing in the face of casualties and sorrow. For the first time, I'm thinking past tomorrow.
And I am not throwing away my shot. I am not throwing away my shot. And you won't just let my country. I'm young, scrappy, and hungry. And I'm not throwing away my shot. We're going to rise up. Time to take a shot.
Just imagining like kids all over Chicago in the suburbs right now singing along with this, you know, like it's the song that they've known all their lives, and the parents going, how do you know that song? All the kids know the soundtrack from Hamilton, an American musical. What you just heard was Miguel Cervantes and his cast that's here at the Private Bank Theater in Chicago and will be undoubtedly for a very, very, very long time. The show that I've raved about, that everyone has raved about. When I reviewed the show when it officially opened about a month or so ago, said that it is easily as good as the show in New York. You know, a lot of people say, you know, when these shows come to other cities, they're not as good as the original. This is absolutely not the case with this. And the star of this show just really brings it, really, really brings it. Miguel Cervantes is here. Welcome out in our Chicago blizzard this morning.
This is everyone talks about the Chicago winters. Here's a little beginning taste of what it might be like. So it looks beautiful to me, so I'll take it.
Yeah, well, you're not like a California boy or anything like that. You've done snow.
We were in New Jersey for a while. There was a lot of snow. I had a snow blower, so I feel like I'm prepared.
Bragging about the snow blower. Miguel is here with his wonderful and beautiful wife, Kelly. Kelly, nice to have you here with us.
Thank you for having us.
This morning. It's just so nice to see you guys. You were at the TV station with us this week, and we all said, you know, great interviews, really interesting. But everyone said, aren't they just the really nicest people? They're just so nice and normal and, like, very pleasant people to hang around.
I blame my wife for that. She's my Midwestern gal. She's from Omaha, Nebraska. So,
you think the Midwestern
Because
otherwise you'd be a big jerk?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think
I'm going to give her credit.
He's a Southern boy at heart, Dallas, Texas.
I've been around him a few times. He's also a pretty nice guy. The reason that you're here is because you both have become involved in a very important subject to both of you when your now 13-month-old daughter was diagnosed with epilepsy. And that's got to be probably one of the toughest calls that you ever got, one of the toughest pieces of information that you ever got about the care of your children, about the health of your children, right?
Yeah, not the greatest conversation to have with your child's doctor. She was diagnosed in May with generalized epilepsy. We knew that there was something funny going on. And interestingly, I was actually in Chicago this summer. I had flown out, left Miguel and the kids in New York, and I had to come out and find a place for us to live and find a school for our preschool for our four-year-old. And I flew out on July 19th, and I get a call from Miguel that evening saying, something's really not okay with Adelaide, and we decided that he should take her to the hospital. The next afternoon, I get a call, and it is Miguel with the epileptologist telling us that she's pretty sure that Adelaide has this rare form of epilepsy called infantile spasms. So it literally was a call. I was here in Chicago.
You were away. So
I was away.
That must have made it even more difficult.
In the hospital, but we had to find a place to live, and we had to find a school. So we did that as quickly as we could, and I got on the first flight back to New Jersey, where we were living at the time, and I went straight from the airport to the hospital, and we stayed there for a little over a week.
Yeah, and all of this going on, Miguel, while the decision was being made whether or not you would play Alexander Hamilton in this production coming to Chicago.
It was such a crazy emotional whirlwind of a month. The month of May is when we sort of first started seeing the initial signs of the epilepsy without a real specific idea. Right in the same week, the same days that I was auditioning and getting called back and sort of feeling, you know, going from one of the people who just was trying to get tickets, calling all my friends, asking them if they could possibly get me a ticket to Hamilton, transitioning from that guy to, you know, my third audition with Lynn and the producers and Jeffrey and Tommy and all of these people in the room. So my brain is in this weird possibility that I'm about to try to be Alexander Hamilton, and at the same time over with my daughter, who is now exhibiting signs of this condition. So, you know, the range of emotion that I was going through at the time it was so hard to process. It was hard to process all of it.
I don't even know how you do that. I mean, anybody, whether you're a performer or not, you have a fight with your wife before you go to work that day. You're not feeling well. One of the kids isn't not feeling well. Something else is going on in your life, and you have to go to work. You have to concentrate on your job, whatever it is. Never mind that you might be playing Alexander Hamilton.
Yeah,
I don't even know how a person makes that. You know, is able to separate those two.
There is something. I'm not going to say comforting, but relaxing. You know, auditioning is a tough job. Auditioning is a very hard thing to go in there and do to calm your nerves, to calm your mind, and to calm yourself to be able to be in the room. And not to mention it's Hamilton, that this was the audition that I was going in for, so the stakes were even higher. But to be able to have my mind sort of outside of, and I did all my preparation, I had everything ready, I was ready to do it. You just can never recreate the feeling inside of your body the way your stomach and your nerves go when the moment comes. So to be able to have where my brain and my heart was a little bit separated, I think allowed me to relax a little more and understand that while this Hamilton thing was important, it was going to be a life-changing experience, it actually wasn't the most important thing that I had to think about.
And maybe that's why you so nailed it, because you had like a sense of priority. Don't you think, Kelly, that there must
Absolutely.
Have been something like that? You know him probably better than anybody else, that while this professional, like maybe one of the most important roles in theater was on the line here, there was something more important to him. Going on the health of his daughter.
Absolutely. And I do have to say that Miguel is not one to get overly nervous for auditions. He takes them all in stride. It's probably one of his more grounding characteristics as an actor. But, I can't even imagine that feeling of being in that room and knowing that this other thing was going on. And I think that has carried through in our experiences here in Chicago, I think it's probably very easy to get wrapped up in Hamilton and the excitement of it and getting recognized on the street or the press interviews, the photographs, all of it. But at the end of the day, when you know that you need to come home and that you have this other incredibly scary part of your life with your child, it grounds you, it centers you, and it helps keep everything in perspective.
Yeah. So what, how is Adelaide now, and what is her regimen of treatment? I know that you had told me prior that it's a sort of the most severe kind of epilepsy that a 13-month-old can have.
Yeah, so she's diagnosed with infantile spasms. It will and is starting to morph into other forms of epilepsy, other types of seizures. There are, I think epilepsy in general is just such a misunderstood disorder. The brain in general is. But so there are so many different kinds of seizures and different forms of epilepsy and innumerable causes. So she has infantile spasms. It's starting to morph into other types of seizures. So trying to find a medication that will work for all of those is, it's daunting. She still has seizures every day. We are seeing them decrease. She is on a special diet. She takes two different medications every day, and that's pretty low. I talk to other mothers, and their kids may be on 3, 4, 5 different medications. They may have tried 12, 15, 19 different prescription medications before their child turns 7 years old. They've gone through, I just can't even imagine, 19 different medications to try and find something that works for their child.
In a way, it's kind of ironic that Miguel's career would bring him to Chicago, because with Adelaide's dealing with epilepsy, got you involved with a group that Susan Axelrod and David Axelrod, the political consultant, founded, because they have a child with epilepsy as well.
Yeah, it was. So I was familiar with Cure. In New York, I worked at a restaurant where we had hosted a couple galas for Cure, and I had worked on those events for the restaurant, and so I was familiar with Cure. We find out that Adelaide has epilepsy. We find out that we're moving to Chicago, and I immediately reached out to my contacts at Cure and was like, oh my goodness, I need help. I need doctors, and they were incredible with connecting me with other moms who helped recommend doctors for us. And you know, I have to say that, you know, the silver lining in all of this, maybe it was meant to be for us to come to Chicago knowing that Adelaide had this diagnosis, because Lori's has been phenomenal. The care that she has received there has been just incredible. And to have an ally in Susan Axelrod, who is just one of the most amazing human beings I've ever met. Yeah. And the Cure family has been incredible. And you know, Cure was founded by parents. It was founded by moms who wanted a cure. At the end of the day, they didn't want to keep being told that they needed to find a way to help their children to live with epilepsy. They wanted a cure. And I think that there's something really special in that. And it is now one of it is the largest privately funded epilepsy nonprofit in the country. And she's done a really amazing thing. And we're so excited to be able to partner with them.
Yeah, I would think that, you know, having Lori's Children's Hospital, like one of the greatest children's hospital in the world, in your backyard, basically, you know, monitor the care of your daughter has got to be very comforting. And Cure, the group, it's Citizens United for Research in Epilepsy, doing and supporting all kinds of epileptic research. It's just funny how the world falls all together.
Believe whatever you want, you know, believe in divine intervention or just dumb luck. This was something that we needed. This was something that we didn't really, it's the answer to a prayer we didn't really know we were having at the time, to come here and meet up with Susan and the Cure people and the hospital, the Children's Hospital. It really was an unbelievable coming together of the right thing at the right time for our family. And it's pretty, you know, and that it's Hamilton. So, and that part is also pretty cool too.
Yeah.
So,
you know, thanks. Yeah. Right. There's some cool ways that our listeners can get involved and be part of some amazing fundraising for all of this. And we'll tell you about all that when we come back in a second. It's 11:25. Kelly and Miguel Cervantes in studio with us. We'll talk a little Hamilton also when we come back. WGN. Promising young performer there. Miguel Cervantes. Alexander Hamilton himself in studio with us today, along with his wife, Kelly Cervantes. Just hearing this, and you're nice enough to come in on your day off today to talk about all this, I kind of feel bad that I made you come in here on your day off, or you could just be, you know, sitting at home and watching football or something.
Well, yeah, you know, as a father, your days off end up starting at 7 a.m. anyway, so it's there's not a whole lot of day off involved.
Yeah. Four-year-old son.
My son, four, right, he's a pretty pretty regular at the 7 o'clock a.m. wake up. So it's
yeah, 4-year-olds don't have any energy at all to drag their parents, drive them crazy anyway, right?
Nope.
So how do you balance all of that then? Because you know, for anyone who's seen Hamilton, you're amazing in it. I said that before. I met you. It's not just you know, talk for the studio here. Amazing. But you're on stage virtually the entire show. I mean, it's got to be one of the most physically exhausting roles any actor will perform.
Yeah, you know, the aside from learning it and knowing what the words are and the actual nuts and bolts of the show, understanding the physical necessities to do the show, I'm still learning. You know, like any other exercise, like any other workout, like any other athlete, for you know, lack of a better word, the more you do it, the stronger you're going to get. And that's I'm learning that as I go, is the show is slowly becoming a little bit more easy, a little bit more manageable. I'm not just falling down exhausted every time after the show.
Were you in the beginning though?
Oh yeah. You know, I had conversations with Tommy, the director, about his conversations with the New York company when they first started doing the runs, and they said, you know, Lynn included, saying, I can't do this. I don't think I can keep this up, you know. And as the performances go by, and as the, you know, weeks go by, you realize that just like any other muscle, you build up some tolerance and some stamina, and it gets a little easier. But at the end of every show, I am still take a minute to realize how emotionally draining, physically draining, vocally difficult, and the whole thing, it really is. And you know, I've said this before, that people talk about how sort of lengthy the show is. It is a long 2 hours and 45 minutes or something like that. And I say, I have no idea what you're talking about. I feel like the show super quick, and it ends before I know it. So if that's any indication of how little time I have to actually stop and rest and relax.
It's got to feel like a vortex backstage, that you step into this vortex that starts spinning. And then before you know it, you're out there taking a curtain call.
Yeah, it really is. There's a few times, and you know, I've never actually counted, but it can't be more than 5 or 8 minutes that I actually stand off stage and don't do anything. And I'm usually back there by myself, because anytime I'm off stage, everyone else is on stage.
Right.
So I stand there, and then it goes so quickly, because immediately I'm changing clothes and I'm back on. And if I'm on stage, I'm talking or rapping or singing or something. So there's not a whole lot of time that there's any where my mind can go other than what's the next word that I have to say.
Right. This is a really interesting time to be part of this production with all that's going on politically in America right now. I don't want to get into the politics and Vice President visiting the New York cast the outburst here. That's a whole nother can of worms.
Yeah.
But my point with this is that this show is about how the founding fathers started all of this and what they intended America to be. And I think the juxtaposition of that with the political process right now of what's going on in America is so interesting.
Well, you know, the political message just in general, the social message that I think we've always wanted to say with the way that they've wanted to cast it, the way they want the show to look, the way they want the show to sound, you know, this sort of all-inclusive, all-skate, this is about all of us, this is about our country, the way it looks now, the way we want it to be now, that's just the message that it holds as a piece. And then the show, the words, we're talking about these decisions that these people made all these years ago, and the way that they will affect and the way that they will shape the country as it is now. And here we are sitting in a year where decisions we have made, we are making, are going to affect our lives for, and you know, we all had our thoughts about what we wanted before. Now we have different thoughts about what is happening now. And that those are all, you know, everyone's entitled to their opinion and their beliefs and their views. And so we as a company continue to say our message of, you know, the responsibility of our actions, and the responsibility to be inclusive and to be progressive and to sort of take responsibility of your actions in our and you know, because the future will continues. Well, it keeps going, and we live in the decisions that were made, and so that's sort of how it.
Yeah, I mean, people are, you know, hearkening back on political decisions and arguments that are made today. That's not what the founding fathers intended. The founding fathers meant this. The show shows you what the founding fathers went through, the price that they paid. So interesting, you know, that they fought and then were faced with, now we have to figure out how to govern. It couldn't be more similar to what is going on in America right now, regardless of what your political persuasion is right now.
It's
more than ironic that this show happens to be so happening in New York and Chicago right now. With all that's going on. And again, I don't want to get into any of the politics because there's really no point in it. But I just have to ask you, though, as an actor, let's say you're doing some other show and somebody stands up in the middle of the show and starts yelling and disrupting the show.
Yeah.
How does an actor deal with that?
Well, it's sort of, you know, the old, you know, the show must go on. You can liken it to anything else. If the all of a sudden your microphone goes down, or the lights go down, or your little turntable doesn't move, you know, the goal is to continue for the other 1,899 people in the room that want the show to go on. You go into that mindset regardless of what the situation is, what the interruption is, if it's the lights or the sound or some other
technical.
You've
rehearsed it. I mean, you've talked about it. You've gone through it with your production people. If something happens, this is what you do.
You have contingency plans for any sort of number of different things.
Right.
Obviously, you can't plan for all of them. You can't plan for everything that could happen. But, you know, in the preparation of what the actor does when something happens, you know, you sort of say, like anything else, are we safe? Is anything going to fall from? Anything going to fall?
Yeah, right.
You know, the safety issue is the first thing.
Yeah.
Once you figure out we're safe, then you figure out how to continue, how to move forward.
But in a split second, though,
you're
trying to figure out, you or whoever it's happening to. You're trying to figure out in a split second, how do we recover from?
Well, you know, because yes, we are actors and we're professionals, and we are. This is our job, and this is sort of what we're getting paid to do, but we are people. We are still people. Yeah. And there is no wall. There is no,
right.
So there is a perception. We feel it. And just like any other person would feel anything. So,
and really a weirdness. I mean, for the times that I've been on stage and seeing things, you don't see anything.
It's
dark.
It's dark.
What the actors are seeing are lights shining in their eyes. And you, with maybe the first couple of rows, you're not seeing anything that's going on.
I was pretty shocked the first time I went out there, and I know there's a lot of people out there. I'm fairly certain it's
hear
full
them.
All the way to the top, but it's you can't. It's hard to see.
That's
so
interesting. Yeah.
So the initial shock of something's not quite right will happen, and that, you know, will happen with if anything goes wrong. If anything, you sort of get your bearings and then figure out, can we move forward? How do we move forward? How do we get this show to continue? And that's, you know, that's what we did.
How it works. That's amazing. I mean, that's part of the magic of theater.
Yeah.
That visceral experience that, you know, whether it's you know, a quiet drama that touches you in some emotional way, or I mean, honestly, really one of my most memorable moments that I ever saw is I was seeing The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas musical. It was here in Chicago. May have actually been in the theater that you're in. I can't remember now. But Anne Margaret was starring in it, and she missed her opening cue. They have this huge song and dance number, and they say, well, wait till Miss Mona gets here. And that's clearly where she's supposed to walk out. You just wait till Miss Mona gets here, and all the actors are out just standing there, and nothing's happening. Nothing is happening. She wasn't feeling well, apparently. And they I don't know how they covered it. They announced at intermission, she's not feeling well, she's not coming back. But of the millions of shows that I've seen, number one in my book because something went wrong.
Well, it's the beauty of a live performance. Anything could happen at any time. You know, I missed some words last night. I sort of changed things around. And, you know, maybe someone said, oh, did you see that show where he did that? Uh-huh. And those kind of things will happen because real people make real mistakes and real things happen in real time. And that's sort of the beauty of what we do is that it is real. It is a real thing. It's real action, and there's no going back. We don't get to say, oh, sorry, we're going to – well, sometimes you actually do say, no, we'll go back and do that again. But, you know, most times it's we're gonna push through this. Yeah. We're gonna get this story out. We're going to get this message or the play, you know, what you came here to see, we want you to see and experience.
I would imagine, especially if you miss some words or change things a little bit.
Oof, some pressure.
This soundtrack – kids especially, but I mean everybody knows this soundtrack and they are probably singing along with you, I would imagine. So if something changes up a little bit, I'm sure you hear about
it. There is a crew of people who will let you know, oh, you know what, I think what happened there. So I try to keep it very, very tight to
it's
the
gotta be a quite a line the, that you have to walk
to the line there because I'll take it. All these kids that, and when the kids come out after
isn't
the show
amazing?
And they say they want, you know, but my son knows it, I say, well, show me, I want to see it so that they can, I want to hear these kids, and they know every word.
That's
and
awesome.
It's amazing.
That's awesome.
Amazing.
You could have Miguel Cervantes singing for you at a private event. You could have the cast of Hamilton come and do Christmas carols for you. These are just some of the things that you can bid on at a special fundraiser that they're doing for the epilepsy charities that are involved. And I'll tell you about all of that when we come back. Wrapping it up with Kelly and Miguel Cervantes, who are here this morning. Miguel is Alexander Hamilton and the production going strong here in Chicago. You know you are prepared to be here for the next like 25 years doing this show.
Listen, I'm happy to do it. I'm happy. It's a pretty cool job to have. And Chicago, I'm really digging this city a lot. We're really liking it. My son likes it. My wife likes it. And so that means I like it.
I love what you told me that your 4-year-old Jackson,
yep.
4-year-old son this morning wakes up and sees the snow outside and goes, "It's Christmas."
Yep, Christmas is tomorrow. I said, oh, no, snow. Well, it's adorable. But
I love that.
A few more sleeps before Christmas.
A few more sleeps, exactly right. So, Kelly, tell me about this amazing raffle that's going on online that people can participate in, and all the proceeds go to CURE, the Citizens United for Research in Epilepsy.
Yeah, we are raffling off two tickets to the show and a backstage tour, opportunity to meet Miguel, some of the other cast. As we all know, tickets are a little challenging to get your hands on. So good luck to all who enter to win the tickets. The opportunity to go caroling with Miguel and some other cast members, which just sounds like so much fun to me.
How about that? If you, like, your doorbell rings, you open your door, there's Christmas carolers outside, and it's, oh, wait, it's the cast of Hamilton outside my door.
You know those people.
My aunt called me yesterday. She was like, so if I win, she entered into the raffle for the caroling. She was like, but I can still go, right? I was like, yes, Aunt Sally, you can still go.
That's like, great.
Because I think so. That one's really fun. And then for those who have deeper pockets, there is a silent auction for the cast to come and join a dinner party, do a little cabaret performance.
Private performance.
Yeah, absolutely. So at your holiday party, at your, you know, just a dinner party with close friends or family. And, you know, you have said it, other people have said it. I cannot stress how ludicrously talented this cast is.
Yeah.
I mean, you have Tony Award winners, Tony nominees. You have, you know, just the depth of talent across the board. They are so good, and they are such amazing people.
Right.
And, you know, we're crazy grateful to all of them for offering to donate their time to this cause for us. And so I think all of these opportunities are really incredible and a little a little under the table right now, but it looks like we may have some opportunities for signed memorabilia.
Oh, that's great.
Coming up within the next few days here in the auction as
so well. So how do people bid on all of this stuff?
So it's www.myshotatepilepsy.org. There's the opportunity to bid on all of these items, and you can also just make a straight donation as well. And all of the money, as we said, is going to Cure. Their main focus is to raise money for research dollars. The epilepsy is an incredibly has been underfunded disorder. One in 26 people are affected by this, and it is all ages. It is all ethnicities, all genders. It can affect anybody. And, you know, I think that there's some misunderstanding. There's many medications, but they don't treat it. Medical marijuana can help, but it's not a cure for everyone. There are surgeries that can help. And, you know, and we're just starting on this road. I'm learning new things every day. But, you know, for our daughter, she's been resistant to every medication that we've tried, to the diet. We are, we're trying to figure it out. But, you know, I don't just want her seizures to stop. I want her cured. I want this. Because it's devastating to see your little baby through this to not be able to control it. And you want them to be better. You want them to be okay. And, and we're really hoping that, you know, through this campaign and with a little Hamilton magic, we can really bring that awareness and raise that money to help our daughter and the, you know, thousands and thousands of people that are affected by this all over the world.
Yeah, well, I mean, know how much, you know, anything that we can do to help with any project that you're involved in, we are 100% at your disposal. But know the love on our text line. Since you guys have been on, the texts are just coming in like crazy of people just wishing you well and sending you love. And, you know, the people's love and their hearts are in the right place. So all of you people, text in. Get on your internet right now.
Yes.
And the website again to get into
www.myshotatepilepsy.org. There's some great pictures of our family on there. Miguel has done a PSA, which I know is playing on many TV stations right now. And we just really want everyone to feel like they're in this with us and to understand that, you know, Miguel is Alexander Hamilton, and that's a really cool thing, but we're really normal people who are
mom and dad concerned about your daughter. myshotatepilepsy.org. Take a look at it. If you need more info, contact me here at the TV station, and we'll hook you up with all of that. All the best with everything that you're going through. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
You guys are just so great. Kelly and Miguel Cervantes, happy holidays if we don't see you in the meantime as well.